Well, we're going to work towards trying to get through the fruit passages today and categorize them. Karpos, which is fruit, and we were talking about the three primary uses of fruit in the New Testament, and it was literal. I'm just going to put literal up. Then we would have the result, right? Or effect. I'll just put effect above it. Which is going to have, that's the type of fruit that's being spoken of there, and man, that's bad. In the scripture, there's a result or an effect that becomes a fruit, and we know that's spoken of both positive and negatively, right? You'll know them by their, that's a positive and a negative, so you got a literal use of it, an effect, and then we had souls, and I also said you can call it progeny, whatever. Okay, and that's used that way. We'll look at some of the more obvious use of both effect and progeny where there shouldn't be any argument about what's being stated. That the use of the term fruit metaphorically is definitely without any argument talking specifically about behavior or character or result and effect. And in other places, it's very clearly talking about the reproduction of oneself. The remaking, reproduction of oneself. Okay? And again, why is this important? And Mike asked it last week. People ask it. Brethren, really at the core, why we're doing this is, and you guys know the way I operate, know Jesus, know who you are in Jesus, right? And know your purpose. So that's what we've done. We've talked about worship and service. Know who Jesus is, who you're going to worship, who you're going to serve. Know who you are in Christ. So we talked about faith. Being persuaded first that Jesus is who the Bible says He is. That He claimed that He is. Right? So we will worship and serve Him. And then we will also then, as a byproduct of that, understand what the Bible says about us. And we'll start to think properly, right? Understand who the Bible says we are. And faith, at its core, is persuasion. God's trying to persuade you that this is who you are through His Word. The world is trying to persuade you who you're not. Now, who's the god of this world? Satan. He's the prince of the power of the air. Them airwaves coming flying at you all the time are his argument against what the Scripture says is true about you. You say, no, you're not. No, you're not. So he loves to see you trip up and stumble so he can kick that sand of the past in your face, try and keep you down. Just remember this. There's a saying that's out there, and that's, many of you have heard it. It shouldn't be new. The next time Satan tries to accuse you or remind you of your past, remind him of his future. Okay? Just don't let him get you down. Remember who's got the upper hand here. We will soon crush Satan under our feet, right? Scripture says so. So that's faith, and it's basically persuading you who you are after you've been persuaded who Jesus Christ is, after you've been persuaded that the Bible is trustworthy. Everybody's out there trying to persuade you. They're trying to build faith in you. So once you understand worship and service, that you prostrate yourself, and then you serve. So inwardly we're prostrated. Spiritually we're prostrated before our Lord. But in the flesh, what are we doing? We're ambassadors sent here on earth in this tent of flesh. We're doing what? We're displaying His character, right? And we're executing His purpose. So, that's where fruit comes in. And the understanding that fruit, understanding it properly, is not solely speaking to the Christian about developing the character of Christ. That is, almost overwhelmingly, the way most people run the idea of fruit when it's mentioned in the New Testament, and particularly in the Gospels, and then on. I mean, particularly in the Gospels, it's used 46 times. They look at it as, I've got to develop this character of Christ. And there's a reason they run it through their filter that way. Because they have been convinced that their role is just to be as Christ-like as possible. And the preacher, or if you've got elders or deacons, it's their job now to go out and get fruit. In other words, reproduce. So that's not true. The New Testament teaches that every Christian is not only supposed to replicate the character of Christ within them through the help of the Holy Spirit, the application of the Word, persuaded, right? Having that faith picture. But it's also the Christian is supposed to individually responsible to get out there and make sure that they reproduce themselves. Bring forth fruit. And that's really the core issue. And it's a big issue, even in the Lord's church, in the church that follows the patterns that set forth in the Scripture. There are many people that are trying to find a way of saying, I don't have to actually personally engage in discipleship. Some will use the excuse, I'll send money, and they point to passages which are there in the New Testament of people who participated. And the Apostle Paul said that they were participants and actively engaged in producing that fruit that came from Paul's preaching, the replication and reproduction of souls. But that isn't where it stops, see? So you have a mindset in the church of people that say that, well, yes, I got to develop the character of Christ, which will then be the result and the effect that will be seen by others. And they say, and then how I reproduce Christians is I just give money to somebody to do it. You notice the subtle little setting aside of their personal responsibility? Now, are we able to give money and help assist in saving souls? Well, this congregation donates money to guys that work in the mission field in Africa. And we put a little into the people over in the Philippines. Are we engaged in them reproducing Christians? Yes. Does that absolve us from any other personal responsibility? No. It does not. But that's what happens. See, they get this mindset, well, I just give money and I've done my duty. Not really. That's why we have the parable of the talents, the parable, you know, that talks about the soils. The good soil reproduces. I can remember, I think it was Bill Compton and Steve Compton. I think Bill Compton told the story. I believe it was Steve that came to him at one point. Bill's a younger brother. Many of you know Steve Compton. He's a evangelist up in Flathead Valley. And then Bill was out in Eugene, Oregon area. But I remember he told the story, and it was Bill that I remember him telling it, that his brother Steve came to him and asked him after he became Christian and there were some things he was working through. I remember Bill said that Steve came to him and said, what kind of soil are you? You control what kind of soil you're on. You're in control of that. Now, I've told many people, you know, and they say, well, I don't know about this. I just say, you know, they say, should I say something to this person? I say, don't judge the soil. Cast the seed. See, in the book of Acts, it says, to those that rejected the gospel, Paul said to them, since you judge yourselves unworthy. Who judges the soil ultimately if they reject it? The person themselves. Who's going to judge themselves as being good soil? You. What does the good soil do? It reproduces both the character of Christ and it reproduces fruit after its own kind, as Mr. Ferguson mentioned again for us all last week. That's a principle set forth in the Scripture from early on. Go forth and multiply. When he said that to Adam and to Eve, did he mean, make sure you multiply the character of me as we've been walking and talking previously in the garden? No, it's pretty obvious. He's talking about replicate yourself, Adam, you and Eve. So again, that's a principle that's present. It is a responsibility of each of us. Now, is God going to give you the grace, you know, and the mercy to get that done? Sure, He is. But if you just completely ignore it and try to take advantage of His grace and mercy, well, there's going to come a time where He's going to yank that tree out of the ground. We actually read one of those. And throws it into the fire and burns it. It's good for nothing but for burning. He says, just burn it. Right? John 15 kind of talks a little bit about that too. In fact, in response to the branches and the vines, all that good stuff. But there's another passage where the mercy of God is displayed in the Gospel of Luke, where the guy, he says, this isn't producing any fruit yet. He says, hang on. Let me dig around it. And that's actually in our bulletin for today. Those of you that got a bulletin today, most of you get a bulletin today? Okay, if you open it, the front inside, the top there, that's that verse. It's right there in Luke 13. It's about a vineyard keeper. It says right there, "Behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down." What does it? Why does it even use up the ground? And he answered and said to him, the vineyard keeper, "Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit, next year fine, but if not, cut it down." Now you could argue, oh, that's just talking about character. Well, again, what's the character of Christ being built in us for? So we can sit in these individual chairs and radiate? Shine to one another? I believe the scripture says that we're lights, right? In a darkened generation. Lights, you know, they're like moths out there. Here we are with bright light and we're trying to get them to come to us, right? Because this light's so bright, they want to come and see and talk to you. Well, what do they do when they come and talk to you? Aren't you supposed to cast the seed? Right.
Philippians 1:6 says, you know, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But in verse 5 and verse 6, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." That's not the part that I wanted to...
There's a passage in verse 12 that talks about fruit, and later on in chapter 4 too.
But it's for his will and his work.
Right.
I just lost that right when you walked over. That's our purpose, is not for our own will, but for his will.
Right. So we're being equipped for the work of service. Again, we keep going through all these things over and over again so we can remind ourselves what's the purpose of the church. Well, to conserve the saved, actually, we know that's true. But also what? To seek the lost. You have a comment, Clint?
Yeah, just I think this kind of ties in Galatians chapter 6. Verse 4 says, "But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another, for each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. And we're not going to bear fruit, you know, in the scriptural sense, unless we sow that seed. Like you've been saying, every tree bears fruit after its own kind. And it's interesting how we're compared to trees in a lot of scriptures, you know. But if we don't sow the seed, we're not going to get any fruit. And we all might sow a little bit differently, but there is a result for every seed sown.
Okay, let's start looking at some of the passages. Okay, we've been through several. I'm going to start with, I'll read Matthew 7. There's about 5 verses there. Then we'll go to Matthew 12:33. And I'll have Mr. Love read that if he would. All right. Matthew 13:26, Brother Mike Wojciechowski, if you would be ready to read that. Now, there's some parallel verses that we'll make mention. We're not going to go to all the parallel verses. Okay. I'm going to work the right side of the room, my right. The right winger's on my right. No matter where you are in the room, brethren, from my perspective, you're a right winger. If I'm looking at your right winger, if you're looking at me, you're a right winger. Or if you're over there on that side, we'll talk about the other right. Okay. All right, so we've got Matthew 7, Matthew 12, 33, Matthew 13, 26. Let me look here to see where I want to go next. Then we'll go to Luke 13, 6 through 9. We just read that. We're going to go by that. We just read that. Hang tight. I'm looking to see where I want to go next. Kind of jumping around. Oh, let's go back to... okay, Mike, you were the last one I gave, right? You and I haven't given you anything, Mr. Ferguson. Okay, you do Matthew 21, 34, and then we'll have you grab 41 and 43. Okay? We did Luke 13:6. We read that from up front here. Okay, Nolan, you're going to be next. I'm looking for you. We'll go to Luke 1:42 with you, Brother Dave Morrell, John 4:36. Jeremy, a city in which there is much rejoicing. We will go to, let me see, that's parallel verses. We'll go, we'll let you redo John 15:2, and then we'll have you drop down to John 15:6 just as a review, okay? Brad in the back there, we'll have you do Acts 2:30. Next to you is Michael. Michael Lindell, we'll have you do Romans 1:13. We'll get those and we'll come back and get the next group, okay? And then I'll work on this side of the room. So let's go to Matthew 7. I'll start with that. At the top of verse 13 in my Bible, there's a little phrase that says, ways contrasted, fruits contrasted. All right? Talking about entering by the narrow gate or the wide gate and the false prophets. Verse 16, he says, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown to the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. What are we talking about here? Primarily, how will you know them? By the effect or result, right? Will a bad tree be known by bad fruit? You ever heard this saying about a boy that's descended from a father who's, we'll just say, notorious in a community, and they say, that boy's a bad seed. Ever heard that?
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
That's exactly right. So you can get a little of both, can't you, out of this? But primarily, I think what's working on is this. So Matthew 7, okay, that was 16 through 20. You could say, yeah, possibly over here. But I think the thrust is primarily effect or result. Would you agree? Okay. Again, you don't have to agree with everything I'm saying. I'm just trying to get some consensus. All right, Mr. Love.
Matthew 12:33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit.
Pretty much the same thing. So that would fall under effect or result. Agreed? Okay. Brother Mike Wojcicki.
Do you want me to read just 26?
If you need a little context, go ahead.
Okay, verse 25. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. I guess that's enough.
Yeah, that's enough. Okay, now you guys know what this parable is about, right? It's about the harvest, ultimately. Agreed? If we get the context, that's where the context is important. If you just read that, you might stop and think, well, that sounds kind of like effect result. But if you read the rest of the context, I'm glad Mike didn't go all the way into it. But if you read the rest of it, it's pretty obvious that he's talking about what's going to be reaped at the end of the age. What's going to be reaped at the end of the age? Souls. Right? Good or bad? So Matthew 12:13, right? 12 was over here with Mr. Love. Then we have Matthew 13 here. And that was, what did you read? 26 is primarily what we were after. But again, that's in the context, you can figure out what it's talking about. It's talking about souls. And we know what the seed is when what Jesus actually goes on and actually interprets this parable, doesn't he? The world, the field, you know, the Son of Man, the Word of God. What does Word of God make? Lutherans, right? Methodist? Am I getting closer? What does the Word of God make? Christians, saints, holy ones. Okay. All right. So again, that's progeny. Okay, we'll go to Mr. Ferguson.
That was verse 34 and 41 and 43. Is that correct? Okay. I'm going to start in verse 33. It says, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a wall around it and dug a wine press into it and built a tower and rented it out to vine growers and went on a journey. And when the harvest time approached, he sent his slaves to the vine growers to receive his produce." Verse 41, this is after that story. It says, "They said to him, 'He will bring those wretches to a wretched end and will rent out the vineyard to other vine growers who will pay him the proceeds at the proper seasons.'" Verse 43, "Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and be given to a nation producing the fruit of it."
Okay. Again, what's the context? Producing a harvest, right? That's the primary thrust of this. So that helps you understand. Now, would it obviously be a relate? Would it relate to, you know, affect character? Sure, it could. But when it's in context talking about a harvest, everything that the Scripture teaches us about a harvest is about a harvest of souls, right? When Jesus is talking in parables. So we have to place that where the real emphasis is. So what's the emphasis? Souls. Harvest. Producing the fruit of it. Now we know Israel was not an evangelistic nation, nor was it really called to be terribly evangelistic. However, context here is about he's not getting the fruit he wants. Now that could be construed as effect or result. Character's not there. I don't have an argument with that. But I still say when he's talking about a harvest, talking about the people that are going to make it to heaven, the people that aren't. That's souls. Why'd he take the kingdom away from the Jews? They weren't producing. Right? And the whole problem was they weren't producing the character which was going to lead to people who want to be a part of it. But again, they weren't going to produce the fruit of it, took it away, gave it to a nation that's going to produce the fruit of it. This vineyard is supposed to have something that it produces. Character, yeah, sure. But really, what is it supposed to be producing? Souls that'll get to heaven. Mike.
That's what back that up, that statement you just made too about how important that character is to produce the fruit of it. When Jesus is getting after the Pharisees, I think it's Matthew chapter 23, he basically says it. He says, you cross land and sea to make a proselyte, which is a convert to Judaism. Am I ahead of you?
That's fine.
Okay. And he basically, at the end of it, he says, and in the end you make him twice a son of hell as yourselves. And so there's a bad tree bearing bad fruit. Yep.
That's what I think this applies. Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, it's okay. I'm glad that we have guys that think alike. Aren't you guys okay with that? I am. So what, that was Matthew 21, right? 21, right? 34, 41, blah, blah. I shouldn't say blah, blah. It isn't blah, blah. Forgive me, Lord. Your word does matter. Now let me see. Now we're going to go back to Jeremy, I believe. All right. Oh, Super Dave and Nolan. I'm sorry. I'm so looking forward to that city that had much rejoicing.
Luke 1:42, and she, Elizabeth, exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb."
Okay, and what do we talk? Fruit of the womb. Duh. That's a soul. That one. Those are really obvious. And there's one I think I gave Brad that's going to be really helpful. Thank you, Nolan. Super Dave.
John 4, verse 36. "Already he who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together."
Right. And then the context says that they're entering into the labor of others. Am I right? What was it about? That whole story statement there that Jesus is making is about preparing the fruit to come for the kingdom of heaven. What is that fruit? Christians, right? So that's a soul's deal too. And we'll go over to Mr. City.
John 15:2. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit." And then 15:6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them, and they cast them into the fire, and they are burnt.
Now read verse 16.
You did not choose me, but I choose you, and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you.
And there is the issue, go. Go.
2:30, right?
And so because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne. Want to keep going?
Yeah.
Okay. He looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, and he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses.
That descendant is actually fruit.
Romans 1:13. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles.
Those are all fairly clear. Wouldn't you say that it's souls? All those ones we just looked at? Did you grab all those? Understand that? Okay, so Paul's saying he wanted to come and get some fruit. That was Romans 1:13. So we got John 15:2. And then there's a bunch of them. But again, the verse that really helps seal John 15 up for you. And then we had Acts 2:30. Luke 1:42. I think I got that right. And then Romans 1:13 is what you just read. Correct, Mike? Romans 1:13 is what you read? Yeah. So progeny. Souls. We're talking about individuals. Souls. Not effect or result. Not literal. We know that's a lot of that's used as metaphorical. Okay? Brett.
Acts 2:30. The New American Standard, but the New James actually does have a fruit of his body there in verse 30. So, yeah.
That's what I wanted to point out. It's actually the word karpos. Yep. So, not seed, which is sperma, you know, or another variation of that. All right. That's several of them. Again, this is... For the younger brethren, this would be a way for you to break these things down, do a word study, and figure out what's it talking about. Okay?
Those that bear fruit will be pruned in order to bear more fruit. It sounds a lot like James 1:2-4.
Right. It does.
Hmm.
You saying the scripture works together?
I think you just said it for me. Right.
Not working against each other?
Okay.
Yeah, so again, it's a... I don't think God wants to prune the fruits of the Spirit so you'll get more. That will prune off, you know, joy, peace, so we get more love. Yeah. I don't think so. So, but again, brother, I told you a story of me when I was a young Christian, how I viewed John 15, until I really started to read it, pay attention to all the context. I went, whoa, go and bear fruit. Go. Pretty obvious, just like Matthew 28, right? 18:20. Go make disciples. You know, so, again. But it's still amazing to me how many people will read that, forget that last section, you know, down in verse 16, which is all part of the context, and just say that John 15 there, just talking about developing the character of Christ, you know, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Okay? All right, let's... I got to kind of check off what we've gone through here so I know where we're going next. Hang with me, guys. But we're going to go over to my other right and get some of the guys' passages. Now, the parallel passages I didn't throw out there as we were going through these. If you guys want to get them, I'll be happy to give them to you. We did John 12:24, right? Didn't we do John 12:24? We didn't, huh? Okay, well, we'll get to that with this side. All righty. Matthew 21 we did, though. Didn't we?
I don't have it up there. But that was the same thing that Mr. Love read that had to do with Matthew 7, basically. I think. Okay, Luke 13:6 we talked about in the bulletin, 6 through 9. All right, here we go. We didn't do John 12:24, huh? Michael Conover, you got John 12:24. Good man. We did Romans 1:13 with Brother Mike Lindell in the back. Mr. Stone, would you have Romans 15:28 ready? Uncle Dave, would you have Philippians 1:22 ready? Actually, I want you to do Philippians 1:11 and 22, would you? Brother David, Uncle or Dr. David Dunbar, Philippians 4:17. Okay. Galatians 5:22 is so plain. Mr. Schaefer, Romans 6:21 and 22. Galatians 5:22 and Ephesians 5:9 I'll read later. They're very obvious. I gave you Philippians 4:17, Uncle or Doctor, right?
Yep, 4:17.
And then I gave Mr. Schaefer Romans 6:21-22. Alrighty. Yeah, look at that. 2 Timothy 2:6, we'll go over to Mr. Gordon. James 5:7 to Brother Wayne. First Corinthians 9:7, Mr. Hahn, please. Did I give anybody 2 Timothy 2:6? I gave it to you, right? Okay. I'm just trying to remember. I've got them in different places. I'm trying to go in some semblance of order. I'm not doing very well. I know that already. Okay, we got that out of the way. Hebrews 12:11, Mr. Gall. Mr. Cooper, Hebrews 13:15. Mr. Hopper, James 3:17 and 18. And let me see here. Have I got all of them? Pretty much all of them. We will give. It's a toss-up between Mr. Sweeney and Keith back there. If either one of you wants it, wants to fight for it, gets Revelation 22:2. Do we have one want to give to the other? You want to do it, Keith?
Revelation
22:2. You'll be the last. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Okay, Bob.
Say in 2 Timothy. 26?
No.
2:6?
2:6.
Okay.
That should be. Are we ready? Okay. All right. So as we do it, we'll ask the question, where does it go up here on the board?
Most assuredly, I say to you, unless the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain or fruit.
Okay. What is it? Fruit's being used metaphorically, but is it talking about an effect, or is it talking about reproducing itself? It's reproducing, so it's souls, right? Okay, good. Mr. Stone.
Romans 15:28 says, therefore, when I have finished this, and have put my seal on this fruit of theirs, I will go on by way of you to Spain.
Okay, now grab some context for us, would you?
Yeah, in context, I think we could go all the way back to, 22. But just starting at 27, it gives us a little bit of an idea. I guess they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. Therefore, when I have finished this and have put my seal on this fruit of theirs, I will go on by way of you to Spain. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. And so, I mean, context, I think we're talking about ministering to the Gentiles and the Gentiles ministering to others, which would definitely put this in the soul category.
Could be, yeah. Could be effective result.
Yeah.
I think it's
That's what I think too. Okay. But that's good. We get a chance. I'm going through these fast, guys. We can get them done.
Okay. Philippians 1, 11, and 22. Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And verse 22. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose.
Okay, what's the first one, do you think? Obviously, result. What's 22? Could be result, could be soul.
Philippians 4:17. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for this profit, which increases to your account.
And what is that he's talking about? Go back to the 15.
And you yourself also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even the Thessalonians, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account.
Profit is the word fruit. That's what it is. What do you suppose he's seeking for? Remember, what were they doing? They were participating in it. What? The gospel. What's the gospel reproduce? Well, it does reproduce the character of Christ, but what's its ultimate goal? Souls.
Okay, 2 Timothy 6. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops.
Right. That's getting from those that you labor amongst. So there's an effect or a result from his labor. That's what he's talking about there. If you read the context, I'm kind of cutting this short because we're running out of time. You're next, Mr. Schaefer, correct? Or did I give Wayne? Well, I got Wayne. I'll do Wayne first.
Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets the early and late rains.
Okay, Wayne, what's that about?
Talking about a harvest, right?
Sure. Although, the context, though, isn't it? I don't know, that's a tough one. I hate to answer. I don't know.
Before I put you on the spot.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Either or.
I don't think it's just souls. I don't think it's necessarily character either. If you back up, like, go to verse 4, behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your... You know, he's talking about the rich, you know, oppressing. I mean, I think that's due at the end. And the resolution of all things, the Lord of the Sabaoth,
right.
Dealing out justice, you know,
right.
Rewarding each man according to his deeds, whether good or bad, so... I don't know what all that is, but...
Well, it souls at the core, but it looks like it has something to do with what you pointed out, the development of the type of character that's going on.
Sure.
Yeah.
I guess. Judgment Day.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I'll come around to Mr. Schaefer. Again, you guys, I hope you see the value of this. I really hope you see the value of this.
So Romans 6, 20, 21, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit, fruit... were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death.
That's obvious effect or result. Outcome, yeah. So there's a obvious effect or result.
1 Corinthians 9:7, who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat the fruit of it, or who tends a flock and does not use the milk of the flock.
So that's the effect or result of his work, right? Okay.
All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness.
That's pretty obvious. If you're going to argue with that one, well, I can't help you.
Hebrews 13:15. Through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name.
Effect or result. And Mr. Hopper?
Yeah, James 3:17-18. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in the peace by those who make peace. I would say the first one is character, the second one might be soul. Let's see if you agree with that.
I think it's all effect or result.
Okay.
Personally, in context. Okay.
Wait.
Keith.
Revelation 22:2. In the middle of the street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were of the nation of. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations.
Yeah, that one's an interesting one. Go back to the Old Testament. We'll get your question out of the way.
Okay. Would you agree with me that the statement of 3 year and laying the axe 1 year, that's just spiritual?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. It's not literal. Yeah. God will give you time. Okay, that healing of the nations, the leaves for the healing of the nations. What's that? Anybody know where that's found in the Old Testament? It's actually mentioned pretty directly in the book of Ezekiel and kind of referenced in the book of Zechariah. Let's see if we can get where I want to go. Turn to Ezekiel 47. This will help you understand what this is about if you take the Old Testament context. If you weren't sure what that's talking about. That one can be a little bit dicey. Would you guys agree with that? Somebody said, well, tell me, is that my character it's talking about that's going to heal the nations? Or is this souls? What's going on here that's healing the nations? Ezekiel 47. All right, this is the water from the temple, brethren. We know that's representative of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay. Let's grab it in verse 9. Well, we could go in 8. I heard somebody already... We'll get 8. Then he said to me, these waters go out toward the eastern region and go down to the Arabah. Then they go toward the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea become fresh. Fresh water versus salty water. It will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes, big clue, will live. And there will be very many fish, for these waters go there and become fresh, so everything will live where the river goes. And it will come about that fishermen will stand beside it. Fishermen will stand. Big hint. From Engedi to Eneglam, there will be a place for the spreading of nets. Their fish will be according to their kinds. Have we got somebody? Whoever was that? Was that Aiden? Attaboy, Aiden. He had a little punch for us there. That's a future preacher. Future preacher there. Oh, that was great. Okay. I like them guys that are engaged in the preaching and teaching, man. Don't tell me the little guys don't know what's going on. They do. The fish will be according to their kinds, like the fish of the great sea, very many. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. And by the river on its bank, on one side and on the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. Now that's where this comes from that you see in Revelation 22. Now Zechariah has kind of an allusion here. We'll go over to Zechariah. It's your next to last book in the Old Testament. Go to Matthew, go back two books. Go to Zechariah 14. And you'll see something real interesting here. In verse 8. It will come about in that day that living waters will flow out of Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and the other half toward the western sea. It will be in summer as well as in winter. So it's going basically all the time in all directions is the picture that's being presented here. The Lord will be king over all the earth in that day. The Lord will be the only one, in His name the only one. All the land will be changed into a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. But Jerusalem will rise and remain on its site from Benjamin's gate as far as the place of the first gate to the corner gate, from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine presses, and people will live in it, and there will be no more curse, for Jerusalem will dwell in security. Notice Jerusalem rises. I mean, there's foreshadows all over in the Old Testament, gang, about the Jerusalem above. I mean, I've talked to you about Zion, Mount Zion, Jerusalem. You need to read the Old Testament after you get Hebrews 12. What verses?
I forgot. What verses? Brethren, read those. You have come, and go back and look at these prophetic utterances and see how many have been fulfilled in the church. Who you are. That's some awesome stuff. But again, back to Revelation 22:2. It's really about souls, isn't it? Primarily. But it has to do with our character about getting those souls. So we go out, we're life. And we change those dead areas. Non-living things, they become alive. How? Because we are preaching the gospel to them. So it's a little bit of both in Revelation 22:2. But the focus really, if you get the context from Ezekiel 47, is souls, brethren. That's the healing of the nations when they become in Christ. Amen? Amen. Do you guys enjoy this?
Yes, sir.
I'm glad you did. I did too. Next week, Luke's going to begin a class on the book of Acts.